Hello, everyone. This is Deborah Richardson, and today I am putting the AP in Happy, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. This podcast will give a voice to accounts payable team members by talking about the growing reality of cyber attacks in their world and which vendor setup and vendor management techniques they can apply to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Visit the Vendor Process Training Center to enroll in your choice of 55 plus training sessions that will help you and your team avoid fraud, compliance fines, and bad vendor data. Or just sign up to get access to vendor process FAQs and to attend weekly drop-in live Q&A sessions. Visit training.deborahrrichardson.com today. The link will be in the show notes. We can always count on the IRS for updates that in turn make us have to update. So there are two that affect 1099s for the 2023 tax year, and you can get a head start on preparing for them. So what are they, and what can you start doing now? Keep listening. Welcome to episode 247. Start these two IRS activities now to prepare for the 2023 tax year. So there were two things that the IRS changed this year that's going to affect you for the tax year 2023 that you're going to start working on beginning in January of 2024. The first one actually came through on a quick alert that was sent to my email address. So I'm going to put a link to where you can sign up for different email updates from the IRS. I'll put the one for the quick alerts, but when you put your email address in and then go to the next page, you'll be able to sign up for other e-news from the IRS as well. There's some fraud ones. I'm on those. There's some other ones that may interest you. But this email came, and it was a quick alerts for tax professionals, but it came on Thursday, July 13th, and the subject line was reminder, phase two of the information returns or IR application for transmitter control code or the TCC code, that transition. And so I'm just now seeing that it says reminder. Maybe I missed the first one, or maybe this was published, the phase two was published somewhere else and they're just telling us as a reminder. But in any event, what this means is that if you have a TCC code that was issued prior to September 26, 2021, you now have to go and submit an IR or information return application for your TCC code to remain active. And what this really means, if you read on their website for when I say they, I mean the IRS's website, and I'll put a link to this too, for filing information returns electronically, which is the FHIR system, they identify or they say that you need to validate your identity using the latest IRS authentication processes if you are not, if you have not already done so. And I just want to, you know, do a little caveat here that authentication, you need to do it for your vendors and maybe even your internal team members if they contact you outside of a company platform. Just saying, authentication is out there. IRS is doing it. Your bank is doing it. And you need to do it too. But anyway, I digress. If you have not validated your identity using the latest IRS authentication processes, then you need to submit this IR application. And the IRS now offers a sign-in option with ID.me. where that does fulfill the authentication process. And so you were not required to do that if you obtained your TCC prior to September 26, 2021. So in order to keep that same TCC code active after August 1st, 2023, then you need to submit an application through August 1st, 2023. So when you submit that application, the IRS will pull in your existing TCC and you will be able to maintain it. And so technically, this podcast is available, and let me see when that's going to be. So I am recording it on July 14th. And again, this quick alert came yesterday, July 13th. So I'm getting it out as quickly as I can. However, I only publish on Thursdays. And so this is going to come out July 20th, 2023. Now, I don't know when you are listening to this episode, but if you are listening to it sometime between July 20th and August 1st, then you have time. Oh, and you received your TCC prior to September 26, 2021, then you still have time to retain your existing TCC and by submitting the IRS IR application, and they'll pull that code in. Now, if you didn't do that, if you're listening beforehand, right, and somehow you're too busy, you got distracted, and you don't do it in time, or if you're listening to this podcast afterwards, you still need to do the same thing by submitting that IR application. However, you're not going to retain the same, per the IRS, you won't retain the same TCC, and it could take up to 45 days for you to be issued that new code. Now, let me just say that they said the same thing last year, meaning the IRS said last year that it would take up to 45 days to get a TCC in order to use their new IRIS system that was new last year. But it took like less than a week. Now, I don't know how long it's really going to take now. Maybe it will, because I'm sure they had a lot of people that they issued those codes to prior to September 26, 2021. So maybe they'll have more volume. But I'm just saying last year when they told me 45 days, it was actually less than a week. But anyway, still, no matter what, now, if this is your downtime of the year, and it's definitely better than waiting to fourth quarter, but this is a great time to, whether you're doing it on time or afterwards, because you still have time with that 45 days, if that's how long it takes, to go ahead and submit that IR application, because no matter what, you'll be ready for the filing season. Okay, so that was the first update. Now, the second one, I will tell you that I missed this. I don't know what it came in. I don't know what email subscription I'm not signed up for with the IRS, or maybe I am signed up for the right email subscription, but I just missed the email. I did not realize that the filing threshold to require electronic filing for 1099s reduced from 250 to 10. And looking on the website, the IRS said that they published that or the ruling was effective at some point in February. Now, I don't know if that's when we got it or when we were notified, but for the tax year 2023 that you were going to start processing in January 2024, the threshold for filing electronically in the FHIR system is 10 returns or more. And for most of you that are listening to it, I'm sure this affects you. Although, again, for most of you that are listening to this podcast, you probably are already have already started filing electronically because you're probably already over the 250 threshold. Maybe not, but I know that the instruction that was given in the past, I know I had it in my accounts payable perspective 1099 training session, and it's been another 1099 related training that you just need to sign up for the FIRE system anyway. So even if you did not make the threshold, you may have signed up and have been filing electronically. But if you haven't, now is the time to get prepared to do that. And so I have a couple of steps, and I'm going to say I'm probably not going to have all of the steps that you may need to do in your company in order to prepare for it. But I'm going to have some general steps that'll get you started, and then you can work with other departments to identify what else needs to be done, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, so the most important thing is to get access to the FIRE system, and you do need to have a transmitter control code, or TCC, that I was just talking about. And so you are going to need to submit the IR information return application, and it's going to take up to 45 days in order to be issued that transmitter control code, or TCC. And so start doing that first. Now, the second thing that you need to do is you need to prepare to generate that file that you are going to use to upload into the FIRE system. And every year, the IRS comes out with an updated publication 1220. And publication 1220 is the specifications for electronic filing of forms 1097, 1098, 1099, 3921, 3922, 5498, and W2G. Now, the form that you're going to be concerned about is the 1099, whether it's the 1099 NEC or the 1099 MISC or another version of the 1099 that you generate, you need to be able to identify or create a file based on the specifications that are in this publication. Now, it is published by the IRS every year around September, October. And as a practitioner, I remember just waiting on this publication to be issued so that we can look and we could determine if there are any changes that we needed to make to the existing file that we had configured to be generated out of our systems, and that we could just upload those to the FIRE system. You, though, since you are starting now, right, and this can give you more time to work with other departments to get it done, you can use tax year 2022, that version of the publication 1220. And then when the updated version comes out, you can make any updates. And I'm thinking that is the best way to go, but you might want to talk to your IT team about that. So you'll need to get with your IT team or your systems team or whichever is the appropriate team that will build this file for you. And I say that because it's much easier to just generate this file from the accounting system or ERP. But I am sure there may be some of you out there that are listening that may create this file manually, but there are some requirements that you need to follow in order to be able to upload it to the FIRE system. I'm not going to go into that detail, but now is a great time if you have to create that file from scratch to start off with your IT or systems team to see if they can do it. Now, once the file is created, you do have to do testing, and this is something that you'll have to do every year. You have to test that the file can be uploaded into the FIRE system, and so you want to make sure that you know what dates the FIRE test system will be available. So typically it is, or the fire test system is available through some point in November, and then from some point in November to maybe the first week in January, it is down for updates, and then it becomes available maybe the second week in January. And I say this because the problem that I used to run into is that the fire system would go down at some point in November and wouldn't come back up again until January. And unfortunately, the blackout dates for my IT team was around that same or was around that same time. And so I had to make sure that we were able to test the fire system at some point in October. And when you think about it that way, with that timeline, if you are new to filing electronically because of the reduced threshold that's will be applicable for tax year 2023, then now is the right time to get started on those on the activities that are required to have that file be ready for tax year 2023 reporting. Again, I am going to have a link to the fire system page from the IRS. And if you scroll down, and which one was I on? If you scroll down on the page, you'll see the fire production system availability. You'll see the fire test system availability. And it does show that it will be available from January 4th of 2023 through November 27th of 2023 at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So we already know that you'll have the fire test system available through November 27th. And so it's open now, it'll be available through then. And so if you can work with your IT team or whoever you need to work with to create that file, you can get it created. You can get it updated when publication 1220 for tax year 2023 comes out at some point in September and October. And then you can get it tested prior to when it goes down for updates after November 27th, 2023 at 3 o'clock. I said two things you can start working on now, but actually I have a little bonus for you, but you already knew about this, so it's not really a bonus. I just want to make it as a reminder. And that is to start working on the revalidation of your active vendors. And I know that for the IRS, you are really only concerned with the reportable vendors, but it's a great time since you're going to do a bulk upload anyway, right? It is a great time to include all your vendors in the bulk upload. So you can capture those that maybe had a change but didn't tell you because it didn't affect their payments, right? And so it's a great time to do that. It's also a great time to follow up with any vendors that did not pass the IRS 10 match, right, where it was not successful. So you can reach out to them and have them submit an updated W-9 with their correct information. Or if you have a vendor self-registration portal, prompt them to go into the portal and update their legal name and or tax ID so that the information matches IRS records. And that is important for reportable vendors, but it's really important for all vendors because you want to make sure that they are real and they are not fraudulent and that you have accurate data in your vendor master file. So don't just do the reportable vendors. Take this time and do them all. Now, I didn't say, I just talked about a bulk upload and it just dawned on me that you may not know where to go to do a bulk upload. So if you are register with the IRS's e-services to perform a 10 match. You can also do a bulk upload if you haven't done that before. You can also do a bulk upload with a software platform called 10check.com. They used to be owned by the same company, or maybe it was the company 1099 Pro that has tax software, but they were purchased by Sovos in, I think, September of 2021. But they will allow you, or that software would allow you to do bulk uploads of IRS 10 matches, and because it has 10check.com has additional validations that it does, it will also do watch list check. So it'll check it against 42 different watch lists. So when you do that bulk upload, it's going to check the IRS 10 match. It's also going to check the legal name of the vendor against watch list. Now it does cost, right, where the IRS is free, 10check.com does cost. But if you don't have any other way to do to monitor these vendors across the different watch lists, because you know they're not static. They are always changing. And some of these watch lists, if you pay vendors that are on them, then your company could be liable for civil and criminal penalties. OFAC is one of them, right? And so if you don't have another way to validate or to recheck them against these watch lists, then I would opt for 10check.com. So at least you can do it in a bulk fashion. You may have another software where you can upload vendors in bulk and do that type of validation. If you do, be my guest, do that. But 10check.com is the one that I know that combines it with the IRS 10 match. And I really wish that they had some type of an affiliate program. But if they do, I'm not on it. So I don't get anything if you guys end up getting that service or signing up for that service. But I do recommend it to my clients and anyone else that'll listen. As a matter of fact, if you download my vendor validation reference list, you'll see a link to it. And you can do that. It's a link to that vendor validation reference list in the show notes, and it's always free. And I think I just updated it like 2 weeks ago. So make sure if you haven't downloaded it before, you go do it now. And if you currently have it, you downloaded it prior to maybe a couple weeks ago. If you want two additional resources for bank account ownership validation, that you go and download again. Now, I will tell you that this is, or that those two resources are for non-US. So if all you have is US vendors, you may not have to download it. But those were the two that I updated a couple weeks back on that reference list. So thanks, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the 247th episode of the Putting the AP in Happy podcast, where accounts payable teams are empowered to protect the vendor master file from fraud. Don't forget to check the show notes for the links mentioned in the podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing and writing a review of my podcast on the platform that you use to listen. Stay happy.